Just share what I believe the Lord lays on my heart. And I spent quite a time yesterday with the Lord and just felt, you know, when the Holy Spirit prepares and he brings you into his presence, you know, sometimes there's something important to be said. And I've got a title for our teaching today, and the title for this is Judgment is in Jesus' Hand. Judgment is in Jesus' Hands. And it wasn't taking me long to realize how I believe the Holy Spirit was leading me with regard to this very title. But I want to open up in the scriptures first, and if we will, turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and I want to take it up from verse 22 onwards. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, and we'll take it up from verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent me. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." As I began to read these words, a lot of things began to fall into place, and a lot of questions, anxieties, yes, even those fears, somehow are suppressed. It has a way of bringing everything back to a focus, to a balance. And I just want us to look at some of these words that we've read here as we turn back to verse 22. Because Jesus clearly reveals here the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So we realize the workings of God, the judgments of God, are all done and entrusted in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we see that everything is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on that all should honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent me. So Jesus always made it very clear that he was sent by the Father. He was sent. He's on a mission. He's to do a work. He's to restore and bring everything back, the whole of creation, back to Almighty God, which he will eventually one day do. And he goes on, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Again, he says, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And that is why we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is why Jesus said, "I do not leave you comfortless, but I come to you, because you must hear my word." And that is why faith comes by hearing the word of God. For the purpose that we should not come under his judgment, but passing from death to life. And of course, that is the good news of the gospel. That is the new birth, being born again. But the emphasis is all about hearing what our Lord is saying. And he goes on, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Those who are dead, those who walk around our streets, those we meet at work, our families, our husband, our wife, our brother, our sister, those who are dead. Dead to what? Dead to hearing God, hearing what he's saying. Judgment will help with this. Because it goes on, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." So Jesus, in his humanity, as God-man, God has granted to him, in raising from the dead, the new creation, the first one, the first overcomer, he has given him life also, and all authority in which to decree judgment. And has given him authority, verse 27, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. So as his voice begins to speak in these last closing days, he's going to speak through judgment. Does God want to judge? No, he doesn't. But he will judge because the dead will hear. Those who do not hear him in the streets, our family, will hear him. And if it takes judgment, he's going to do it. And even those of our loved ones who are now in the grave waiting to be raised up, they are going to hear him. Everything, heaven and earth and hell, the whole of creation will hear Jesus speak again in these last days in judgment. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. What we're going through now globally, I believe, is judgment. And he says, my judgment is righteous. Righteousness will come forth out of this, out of darkness, as God would not be letting us go through this. So take heart. All is not lost. And we now have a great opportunity to minister, to share, to intercede, to stand in the gap. This is where our ministries are starting to come forth. Because the Son of Righteousness is coming forth. He's rising up. And he's going to deal with all the darkness on this earth. That is why this title is Judgment is in Jesus' hands. And he says that he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Well, let's look at some of these words to what we mean. What is our understanding of judgment? What does the Greek have to say with regard to this? Because it is interesting. This judgment, this word that's referred to here that Jesus is speaking, it means to select. It is a selection. It is a separation. It also means it is trial and it is a contest. In other words, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is fighting against the very enemy himself. It is a contest. It is a war, a battling that Jesus will face with the enemy. And I believe, as we're going to see in this teaching, that this virus that is attacking the world is the start of Jesus rising up to fight against the powers of darkness. And we are going to have a season of which this is going to take place, with the eventual great, the falling away, the tribulation, the great tribulation, and the time of Armageddon, and the coming of Jesus. We're now beginning to see things set into motion. And that is what this word judgment here means. Verse 27, he uses the word authority. This is the same power and authority that is given to the church, that is given to you as well, through the mighty name of Jesus and through the blood of the Lamb. And this word authority in the Greek, the meaning of it means a power of choice. It means liberty. It means rulership. In other words, judgment. That is what this word authority means. It is a power of choice. In other words, God will give authority to those whom he calls and he has chosen from the foundation of the world. And he has given you authority in his holy name. He has chosen you for this. Do you begin to get the understanding of what these words mean? It means that your authority brings a liberty. It brings a rulership, a sovereignty of Almighty God in that authority that God has given to you in and through his mighty name and the blood of Jesus. I was bowled over when I started to prepare this. How blind we can be of these words that we see here until we open them up and see what they really mean. And it's all there. That's going deeper in the word. That is the meat of the word that we are to feast upon. And how tragic it is that many of our professing brothers and sisters who say they love the Lord and on, but they don't get this deeper teaching. Because it has to be revealed. The same as Jesus showed, I only do that which is revealed. And so with the revelation that's been revealed to us, we know what to do, brothers and sisters, or at least we should do. Well, still thinking along these lines of judgment in Jesus' hands, let's turn to Romans 11. Romans 11 and verse 33. Romans 11 verse 33. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God is allowing this trial globally because this is the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And it is so deep, it is so unsearchable that his ways are past finding out. And yet God is going to reveal and show to us why he's allowing and permitting this. Because his judgments, his ways are past finding out. How God is in control. Even though it seems the world out there feels everything is out of control, it seems surreal, macabre. And yet God is in complete control. And it doesn't take him by surprise. What does it say in Romans 13 and verse 2? Romans 13 and verse 2. It says, therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So the nature of this judgment, the nature of this virus attacking the world, it says quite clearly here, because they resist the ordinances of God. They are resisting. The world resists Jesus, the good news, the gospel. And as a result, brings judgment on themselves. This judgment on the world is brought about because man brings it on himself. He prefers to walk in ignorance, blocking his ears to the truth. Everybody today is looking for escapism, an easy way out, or can't face, or whatever it is. This is why there's so much mental oppression today. Well, having then looked to see clearly who judges, and we clearly see that it's in the hands of Jesus, I think we need to discern, as the Spirit leads, what this is. We need to know, we need to understand, and God has a right time in which to speak, and some of these things that I'm going to raise, you're already aware of, but I think there are going to be some things that we haven't seen that I think the Lord is going to show us. We don't know everything because things are being unraveled. Sometimes we have to wait on the Lord until the right time, and then we can begin to see, or we can give a spiritual analysis of what we believe scripturally is happening. So I'm sure you can add much more to what I'm going to give out now, but I believe that this is a basis, of just a foundation of which we can learn more and understand, because people are asking questions. Oh, they're asking questions, all right. I've had a lot now. I've been able to witness. It's amazing how the opportunities are opening up. But we need to know what we're saying and to have it right, because there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of fake news. There's a lot of fear and hype all out there that's talking. And that is why we have the Holy Spirit who will speak to us. And that is why it is so important that we hear what the Spirit says to the church. So, we see then from the scriptures that Jesus is the rightful judge and is to put down all his enemies. And we know that his enemies are his footstool, even the very devil himself. Now, this Chinese virus could well be judgment on the earth, and I make no apology in calling it the Chinese virus. Because as I go on in this, I think you're going to understand why I use that. It's very politically not correct. People don't like it. But when God brings truth out, he brings things out into the light that the darkness may be exposed. And I'm sorry to say, but a lot of political correctness that we have today, the source of it is from the enemy. It is to suppress. It is to suppress truth. It is trying to shut our mouths. And of course, it uses this means in which to do it, because it tries to make it look very respectable. But it isn't. When you look at it and you discern, you see what is behind it that is working. Because the Antichrist, the system that is going to come forth, is going to be a system where it's going to be very politically correct, suppressing the freedom of speech. Hitler tried this, but we know that he failed. The nature of political correctness is a form of hypnosis. It tries to control hypnotize. And we need to understand and expose the powers of darkness and how they work. And I believe that this virus is a warning for man to repent and turn away. That is the nature of this judgment. That is the nature of this, to bring about a repentance. Because judgment is in the hands of Jesus. And the heart of Jesus is that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. So we see the nature when he judges for that very purpose and reason. Now, the question we raise today is, what is the nature of coronavirus? Is it a bioweapon? You see, God uses all the devilish acts of man in which to bring him into judgment. And so there is this question that is now being raised. Governments are not raising it, or not yet, whatever. But people out there, they want to know the nature. What really is this coronavirus? What is it in its nature? And my ears pricked up a couple of days ago when I was in the kitchen preparing lunch and I had the radio on. And they were asking various medical people high up, how are you getting on with this virus? Is there any sign of a vaccine, a healing, and so on? And of course, the interviewer was asking certain questions, rightly so. And to cut a long story short, they were fundamentally saying, we can't crack it. We can't find its coding. It's presenting a big challenge. And my ears pricked up. And I said, Lord, is this a bioweapon? Because if it is, one of the things I'm told that they try to do is disguise the coding. That is the purpose. Like all of these things, time will tell. We lay this out before the Lord for prayer. And we prepare ourselves that this could well be. And so God uses all these devilish acts of men in which to bring him into judgment. So how do we equate between the hidden occult and the judgments of God? How do we equate all of this? How do we know what is occult, what is hidden? How do we know if Coronis is a bioweapon? Because we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will bring all that is dark into light. And very often, brothers and sisters, before the world sees the corruption, God very often shows it first to the church, to the overcomers. We get an insight. We get a preparation. God very often prepares us before he reveals then to the world, and that he's judging or will judge. So brothers and sisters, we are blessed. We are always one step ahead. Do you know why? Because we walk with Jesus, who is in front of us, leading us and guiding us. And God has said that he is raising up the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. Those ministries are to equip us, to prepare us, to build us up. Those ministries are teaching, they are prophetic, they are building in the faith. And God speaks through those ministries, through the Holy Spirit, to reveal to us, to prepare us. That is why we are called to be a house of prayer, because of those things that we receive, what God shows us, so that we can pray. We can pray God's mercy over the world. We can pray for that deliverance, pray for a remnant will be saved, will come through as God judges the world. Because that is the Father's heart. This judgment we're going through is not to cause fear, confusion amongst us. It is the very opposite, because that is what the enemy wants you to suffer, so that you cannot pray effectively. You cannot keep your ears and eyes upon the Lord effectively. Your eyes and ears are too much in the world, listening what's going on. This is why I said the other day in text, don't spend too much time listening to all of this. It's a distraction. We must be about our Father's business, because he's speaking, and it is important for us to hear. If we do not hear, who else is hearing? Because sadly, so much of the church isn't. Their heads are buried in the sands. God is placing great responsibility on us in FGA. I can't speak for other churches, but I can only speak for us. And he's expecting something from us, from the word that we've had, the meat of the word, the richness, the steaks, the best of meat we've received over the years. Now is the time. What are we doing with it? Do we believe it or not? And so the hidden occult, the things, the powers of darkness that are working now, God brings out into the light. That is why we can discern, we can test 1 John 4. That is why he gives the gifts in the church to discern, to test, to see, so that we're always with the Lord, one step ahead, and never caught off guard. Did this coronavirus, did it affect us? Were we off guard? We shouldn't have been. We should be ready. We shouldn't be surprised. Why are we shocked? Why are we surprised? We have been hearing this for years and years and years. God has been preparing us. Have we gone asleep? Have we become the foolish virgins? No, this is a wake-up call. And we're going to begin to see that extra vessel of oil that is needful as we move forward. As the night gets darker and darker, so our lights, our lamps can shine in this darkness. You see, God's judgments are to reveal man's actions, whether they're good or whether they're evil. It's all about the law of sowing and reaping. And there is nothing that reveals that more than in judgment, what man is sowing to. And we're going to see this, and it won't come as a shock. But I believe we're now seeing an acceleration and a falling away. And I believe the acceleration, this falling away, has resulted now with this virus that is attacking the world. And this virus could well be the weapon to prepare the way for the Antichrist. We know he establishes a new world order, And by the way, there's nothing new about that, we know. But to this generation, it is a new world order. And I believe that this coronavirus could well be the weapon used to prepare now for the establishment of it and the coming forth of the Antichrist. You see, God, who is judging through Jesus Christ, you know, he's bringing the world to a standstill. And that's what he's done in this. He's brought the world to a standstill. And this is the greatest time in which to hear what God is saying. And so many are so fearful. Well, what are we going to do? Oh, we've got to go into isolation. We can't go out. We can't go to our clubs, our restaurants. We can't do this. We can't do that. We've got to be at home. And the longer this goes on, the more you're going to hear the moans and the groans and people resisting against it. And yet, this world standstill is the opportunity to get one's heart right with Almighty God and to listen to what God is saying. But will they listen? No, because man is happy being busy, 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 doing, doing, doing. But there will be a remnant who will hear. And our prayers and our intercessions will move on their behalf. Because they will listen, they will read, they will understand what this is all about, why the world has come to a standstill. Because there's always an opportunity to repent. And that is why God judges, so that man will have the opportunity to repent. And you know, if need be, God will move heaven and earth to get a man or woman to repent, or a nation to repent. History and the Bible clearly shows this. How many times God chastised Israel, brought them into judgment, and then there came that repentance afterwards. It was all for the purpose that they would learn, that they would be saved. That's always the nature of this, every time. And I believe that the Antichrist that is soon to come, he is given permission by God to control the world for a season. And do you know why? Because man refuses to repent. Do you know, with this virus that's brought the world to a standstill, if the world and nations and churches and religion were to fall on their knees in repentance before God, I believe that would destroy any possibility of an Antichrist coming forward, because the world will be ready for Jesus to return. But will the world do this? Well, you have answered that question. Sadly, as we read the scriptures, they do not. They don't. And that is why he's given permission by God to control for a season the world. Because man refuses to repent. He's stiff-necked, he's willful. He wants to do it his way. You see, the mark of the beast is God's final warning to man to repent by not taking it. The mark of the beast is God's final warning and judgment to man. That is why taking that mark is so, so serious. Because those who take it will be eternally damned. And that is then the point where God says, my spirit will not always wrestle with man. And to put it quite bluntly, after the mark, it'll be like hell let loose on earth. And I believe that coronavirus could be the introduction to the new world order. This is to usher it in now by the powers of darkness. When we come out of this, and we will, we are going to see a different world. Everything is going to change. The economies are going to change. Politics is going to change. We're going to see a world change, I believe, through this. And part of the new world order includes technology and AI in which to control this new world order that we're going to see, that's right on the brink now. We're going to see a massive breakthrough in technology and AI in which to deceive the people with this new world order. I am seeing this more and more clearly as we go forward. And of course, this will be culminated with the Mark of the Beast. And this Mark of the Beast, I believe, is going to monitor you. It's going to monitor your health. It's going to know where you are. It's going to know where you are globally. It's going to monitor your buying and your selling, and possibly have the power to alter your DNA. That is what I'm seeing more and more with this mark that will be, firstly, will be on a voluntary basis. And so many will think it's a good idea because they have received and embraced the new world order. And we know that all this technology already exists. We know that. We've been showing you clips over the last year or so. There's a reason we've been showing you these things. Not to get afraid or frightened, but it's telling us, it's pointing to something. So that we have our ears and eyes and heart open. So that we're always one step ahead of this. Walking with Jesus. That's the reason. And I believe that the new world order that is going to be ushered in with this is going to change politics. And I believe that we possibly will see a moving towards socialism, dictatorship, and even possibly a form of Marxism. That's the subtlety that's going to work behind governments. You see, governments will more and more subtly take over your life. They're going to take over your life financially, your health. All of this, which will result in the mark of the beast. That's what it does. It will provide for you. It will provide for your family. It will stand in the gap if you're made redundant. You'll have all medical science at your hands, providing. And it's all a subtle means of getting us to eventually take the mark of the beast, because without the mark, you won't have access to any of these things, these supports. Can you not see the subtlety of all of this? This is robbing man of his faith with God. Because God said, I will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Not governments. Not the Antichrist. God will. It is robbing man of his faith in Almighty God. This is why we've held to faith. This is why we've held to the deeper life in the Spirit. For that very purpose, that you're not reliant upon all of this. For this very purpose, that you can trust God. that you know he's your healer, a deliverer, your saviour? Can you not see how this is all subtly working? What are we hearing now with people possibly losing their jobs, companies, having to shut door, put off people and everything? What is the government doing? Bailing them out. Providing. Oh, what a marvellous idea. This is what government should do. No, government shouldn't do it at all. It's because we've lost our faith in Almighty God, who's the one who provides, who gives. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It is a form of control, brother. Exactly. And how subtle it is. Because it's going to lead towards people taking the mark of the beast. You won't be able to survive without it. And that's what it will be. Now don't, brothers and sisters, have that complacent attitude. Well, I'm going to be all right because I'm going to be raptured. If that is your attitude, you won't be. The point is, when we hear what God says, when we hear today what the Spirit says to the church, we act on it. Not because we're going to escape it. That is a wrong attitude. It's because I walk by faith and not by sight. Whether I'm here or not. That is the whole point. We don't know how long we will remain here until the Lord comes for us. And until then, we walk by faith. And we have to trust God in these last days. And this trial, this global trial, is clearly showing so many sadly will take the mark of the beast, because the Bible shows us. You see, we see how we've been conditioned over the years to receive all of this. It almost just becomes a part of our life, our existence. It's what goes on. It's not until God starts to open our eyes to all of this. He's not going to have us looking to the world to provide our needs. He will provide. The problem is we don't always believe. And that is why we need to guard ourselves. We need to guard our minds. We need to guard ourselves, who we're with, who we associate with. Yes, even our families. Our families can even talk us out of the faith and keep us worldly and snared by our confessions. We're in real times now, brothers and sisters, and it is time to wake up. And this judgment on the earth is a wake-up call to the house of God. Because judgment begins first, where? In the house of God. So the question I raise is this going to cause my knee to bow before Almighty God and submit and yield? And learn what he wants to teach me through all of this? Or am I going to resist? Or am I too busy for this, doing my own thing? We have to be very careful. Yes, I pray we will, brother. Now, I said earlier that this could be from China. We know it's from China. And we know that this could well be a bioweapon. Now, it's interesting about China. Because the question I raise is China rising up as a nation? Well, she is. She's rising up fast. And so many nations globally are so reliant upon China, because China can produce everything at a quarter of the price to the rest of the world can. And not only that, they can do it in such short time. Where's this power to do all of this coming from? What is it about this nation that can do this, that can do these incredible feats, engineering feats and so on? What's feeding all of that? Why is it we become in many ways a slave to a communist country? Well, I've been thinking about a lot of this, and I believe possibly China is rising up as the kings of the East, which we read in Revelation 9. And in your quiet time, I want you to read Revelation 9, because it seems very much to point to China. You see, it's interesting that the Chinese philosophy is, as we know, the red dragon. And it's interesting, that philosophy, because that dragon comes down from the sky for one purpose: to rule the world. That is the nature of that dragon with its philosophy. So will China be the one that will release those demons that it speaks about in chapter 9? There you can read it for yourself. Are they the ones, the powers of darkness is using them in which to release those demons that you will see? You see, we're told that China has the capability, and this is something I heard, and this shook me, this did, but China has the capability of releasing a flu virus that could kill up to 80% of the world's population. They have the power to do that. That is mind-blowing. And as I bring this to a conclusion, I want to talk now on the religious side of all of this. Because I believe we're now seeing an emergence of Islam and Roman Catholicism and other religions, they're merging together, the ecumenical movement. We know that. We've been seeing that for years now. And we know what that is pointing towards. But the interesting thing is, because this new Pope, this Pope Francis, I don't know whether you know about his background, but he's a socialist. And he could well be the Pope preparing for the way for the Antichrist. As again, I say, watch this space. Just watch carefully and see. It's interesting that we also hear amongst Roman Catholic, and there are a few charismatics amongst the Roman Catholics, even I'm told in the Vatican, and I'm told that there are some who are very concerned about this man, this Pope. Well, all I can say for those, they will have to come out from among them and be separate, because they won't be able to stay there. If they truly love the Lord and follow him and want to obey him, they won't stay there for very long. But they are very concerned with this man, with this Pope. So could he be the one who's coming forth now, who will point the world to the Antichrist? Because we know there is a false prophet, this great leader that the world is looking for. I believe that coronavirus is going to change the world as we know it. The world will be different. There will be mass debt as a result of this. But that is exactly what the powers of darkness want. That is exactly what the Antichrist wants. He wants to make nations, people, in debt, so that they are indebted to him. He will provide for that. He will control that. And the only way that you will survive is by taking that mark of the beast. And that is why I believe coronavirus is the introduction now to the new world order. Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe we've heard a lot today. And yes, it may have taken us by surprise, may have blown our minds. But Lord, I believe we are seeing all of this coming together. And I believe you've spoken to us today for the purpose that we are always one step ahead. Help us, Lord, not to fear, but to grow stronger in faith and boldness. Help us to grow more in the love of Christ so that we can share, we can warn. I believe, Lord, there is going to be a lot of opportunities opening up now for us. Give us the boldness, Lord. Father, forgive us, Lord, when we are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, God forbid. Let it be our boasting. Let us be proud that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are his disciples. Let us not be ashamed or run away or clamp up. I believe, Lord, through this judgment, this is a time now for us to come forth, the deliverers. This is a preparation. This is the restoration in the body of Christ. This is a remnant now coming under the headship of Jesus. We've heard this for years. I believe we're going to start to see the greater works coming forth. You're going to provide for us, Lord, because we don't want to trust in the arm of the flesh. It is our heart's desire that you touch us, you provide for us, you heal us. Help us, Lord, not to be dependent on any of this in your mercy and grace. Forgive us, Lord, that there are times we still allow this fear and unbelief to enter in. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace. And Lord, we lift to you our sister Teresa. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just believe that your healing hand is touching her very being as she lies in that bed, that you will raise her up, Father, for your glory. We thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy. We thank you, your word says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And Lord, we believe for other brothers and sisters, Mary Louise, Frank, Jackie, and all others, Father, who are going through trial. Lord, it is our desire to trust you. Father, we want to thank you for our sister Mary Louise, how she trusts you, how she's come off those drugs, Lord, and is dependent upon you. It has spoken to me. It has challenged me. I thank you for people who are a witness in our body to us, Lord, like this. It is your hand at work. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, shake us up. We've been so complacent, lazy, doing our own thing. Enough. Let us be about our Father's business, Lord. We ask in your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And I want to leave before you can take over the mic and share in testimonies. I just want to leave us with two last verses of encouragement. John 16. John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Revelation. Revelation 17 and verse 14. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. And finally, Revelation 21 and verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise God.
Jesus loves you.